All right, hey everyone, happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Hopefully you are your stomach is filled with the greatest of turkey, and that you, or you have plans to eat with others, to celebrate all that we're thankful for because of what God has given us. And so hopefully you're having a wonderful weekend. I wanna welcome all of you if you are new to Jesus, and maybe you're just here, maybe you happen to be visiting friends or family and they said, let's go to church. And you're like, okay. And so you're here. And so I wanna welcome you. We are on a journey. My name is Matthew, if we haven't met, and we're on a 12-week journey in a series called Freedom, the Joy of a Heart Set Free by Jesus. So 12 weeks of learning to experience the joy of a heart that's been set free by Jesus. And we believe that this is his work of freedom in our lives. Listen to Jesus. He gives us his mission statement. Opening the scroll of Isaiah, he says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus is all about setting people free. And we're on this journey of freedom together. We're guided by the 12 steps found in Alcoholics Anonymous. And we're using these steps as a map, but what we're longing for is to see the love of God, the power of God, the work of the Spirit, the grace of Jesus at work in us, so that we would be transformed, so that we would be made new. And the key to this series, as we've been saying, is to be in a small group, what we're calling an apprentice group. And I hope that you have been enjoying this group, three or four of you, same gender, gathered together each week to be vulnerable, to be open, to be honest, and to be a people of great mercy to one another. I want to recap the last 4 weeks, because if this is your first week, I want you to hear where we've come from. Step one, a number of weeks ago, we admitted we were powerless over our deepest problems, that our lives have become unmanageable. And this was honesty. It was gathering in groups to be honest about a particular area of our life that we are struggling with. Step two, we came to believe that God could restore us to sanity. We cannot do this without God. We've come to believe we need God. And in our groups, we started praying for God to fill us with a great affection for him that would heal us of lesser loves. Step three, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we've come to know him in Jesus. So this is surrender, surrendering to God, surrendering to the God we've come to know and trust through Jesus. This freedom and healing cannot happen until we let go. We let go of our control, controlling our hearts, our minds, our wills, our emotions. We just surrender it all. We let go and we give it to God. And then last week, step four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. A searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Oh boy. This step was all about truth. And as we wrote this inventory, you know that the goal was to say, okay, well, who have I hurt? Where have I failed? How can I look into the mirror and take ownership for the ways in which I've contributed to the pain? And it wasn't hiding from the truth. We wanted to be honest as we journaled. I'll say more about that a little bit later. But today we'll move on to step five. And as we do, hear this promise. Every time I've had a chance to preach here, I've been able to read this verse, and I don't want it to become normal or old to you. And so if you would feel comfortable, close your eyes and listen to these words from the Apostle Paul. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And Spirit of the living God, we pray that you would bring your freedom into this place now, today, at this moment. Set us free. Set us free. Lord, this is the good work that you do. And would you do this good work in us? Would you break chains? Would you heal us of shame? Would you forgive us? And as we step into the light, Lord, would you transform us to look like Jesus? And we pray this in your name. Amen. So as we've been asking, where are you and I experiencing a powerlessness? Where are we addicted? Where are we struggling to forgive? Where do we feel stuck? Today we move on to step five. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Confession, that's what this is. This is stepping into the light. It's painful, but it's how we're healed. Now, this step comes after step four, obviously, which was to take this searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And last week, many of us did this very thing. We looked at our hurts, our hang-ups, and habits. We looked at our resentments, our fears, our sins, our sexual brokenness. And we're trying to get down on paper the story of some of our deepest wounds and failures. And then what we did is we didn't want to just remain there. What we did is we wanted to go to see what our part was. We looked to see what our part was. What were the things that we needed to take ownership of? See, in life, it's very easy to be a victim and to blame everything on everyone else, but we were like, no, that's not the road towards healing. What we want to do is we want to say, okay, what was our part? We need to clean our side of the street. I cannot clean your side of the street, and you can't clean mine, but I want to clean my side of the street or allow God to clean my side of the street. And so we looked at everything and journaled, and we were asking, what is my part in this? What did I contribute to this? That's a very humbling exercise, right? Because if you're like me, I'm like, well, they're 100% wrong and I'm 0% wrong. And so I don't want to do column four on my part, right? But getting it down on paper was one thing. Saying it to another human being, that's a different story. Step five. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. North Langley, it is time this week to confess and to step into the light. As we begin today, just want to let you know, God loves you deeply. This is all about the love of God at work in your heart and in my heart. So our passage of scripture for today is simple. It's very simple, but profound. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. James 5, verse 16. This is the word of the Lord. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I want to tell you the story of my friend Aaron. Here at the Walnut Grove campus, I told a story about Aaron about a year ago in our first love series, but I want to tell you a little bit more about him. I came up here to Trinity. I'm from Oklahoma, so I came up here from 1998 to 2002. I was at Trinity. And then from 2002 to 2004, I moved back home to Oklahoma. And I put my religious studies degree to work in a band. I joined a band. And at which point my parents were like, and why were we helping you with your degree? At what point are you gonna use it? No? And then I was living at their house rent-free, so that was great. So I was in a band, living rent-free with my parents. But during that time, those are actually really special years from age 22 to 24, because for those couple of years, I just had a beautiful group of friends, just an amazing group of guys who became this amazing community for me during those years. And I last year, I showed you this picture. I'll show it to you again. These are those guys. And I want to tell you about my friend Aaron. Aaron is the one in the middle with the yellow shirt with the dreadlocks there. And he was just someone I could trust. Someone I could trust who loved Jesus a lot. And one night, I felt like I should share with him a little bit more about an addiction that I had. This addiction that I've been mentioning in the last number of weeks, an addiction to pornography. And I needed to bring that addiction out into the light. And so Aaron Jaqua was one of those guys that I could talk to. And so after Bible study one night, this was one of the first times I had shared this with a couple people before, but not to this degree. And I was able to be really open with Aaron. And Aaron listened to my confession. And he was really good about just listening. And he said, "Matthew, as you were sharing, I felt led to ask you to do something." And I'm like, "Okay." He's like, "I think you need to sing." He says, "I think we need to sing together, the two of us, the song Jesus Loves Me." Which, thank you for not laughing. No one laughed. But it is a song children learn. So if you're new to Jesus, just so you know, if you grew up in the church, it's like the very first song you learn to sing as someone who uses words. It's like, it's the very first song. Jesus loves me, this I know, you know, and it's a very simple song. And of course, I had not really sung that song since I was like 10 or whatever. And there I am, I'm 23, 24, hanging out with Aaron. And he's like, "I think you need to sing that song." And I'm like, "Okay." And so vulnerably, you know, you just start singing. He joined me, two guys in our early 20s singing Jesus Loves Me. And I just started weeping. As you sing those words, recognizing you're a child of God. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They're weak." And see, I was feeling so weak, right? But he's strong. "Yes, Jesus loves me." And there was this healing of shame that happened as I sing this innocent song with my friend Aaron before the Lord. That moment of confession, I'll always remember it. It was so powerful. He received me with love, but he was reminding me that my Heavenly Father was receiving me with a great love. Vertical love, horizontal love. It's amazing. Listen to the disciple Jesus loved. John writes this: "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." See, Jesus in love wants to give his children a way out, a path to healing. So if you and I confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You say, "I don't know how prayer works," right? You might be feeling that. "I prayed for a red convertible and I never got it." Well, it just so happens that the promise is, if you pray, if you confess your sins, you come to God, and you ask for healing and for forgiveness, he will forgive us our sins. You may not always get the convertible. Actually, you likely will not get the convertible. Actually, you'll get a lesson on humility or something like that. That's what God will give you. But he will forgive our sins. Will forgive our sins. It's a promise. And he will purify us from all unrighteousness. That's a gift. Or in the words of the Killers' 2017 song, "The Calling," "Follow the sun out of the night. Brother, just lean into the light. Lean into the light." What would it look like for you and I to follow Jesus out of the night and lean into the light? What would it look like this week for us to confess the things that we've been carrying? What would it look like this week for us to clean our side of the street? That's our question today. Follow the sun out of the night. Let's lean into the light. As I've mentioned many times here at North Langley, light is awkward. Light is embarrassing. It exposes things. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of going to a hotel or a conference center or a friend's house or a family member's house, and you go into the bathroom and you turn on the light and you look in the mirror and you're like, is that what I look like? Is that what my face looks like? That is scary. And it dawns on you that the lighting in this bathroom is a lot more brighter than your lighting at home. And you're like, whoa, is that on my face? This is horrible lighting, we say. Well, no, maybe it's actually good lighting. And you have weird stuff on your face. Matthew, light exposes stuff. It's not helpful to blame the light, right? Maybe we've got some stuff we need to figure out. 1 John 1, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. What a promise. See, to walk in the light, yeah, it's hard. It's awkward at times, but it's to admit that there's something wrong. This step four last week, the searching and fearless moral inventory, was this list of what had happened to us, people that had hurt us. But again, our job was not just to pause there, but to keep going and to say, well, what did I do wrong? What was my part? What can I own? Where can Matthew say, yes, I made a mistake? And this is called taking responsibility, taking ownership for how we've hurt others. The scriptures encourage us to do this, to step into the light and to confess those things, to get it into the open where there can be healing. This summer in July, I had an experience one day standing in my kitchen where I discovered water leaking in places it should not be leaking. And this was a problem. This was a major problem. As you all know, when you find water under the sink and then you go down to the basement and you notice water coming down from the ceiling and finding its way under the paint and along the walls, and now into the carpet, it is not a good experience, right? When you're in those moments, it's just like, this is now just gonna be a long thing. It's gonna take me time and phone calls and all kinds of problems. So this happened to me in July, and you know, you gotta figure this out, gotta call the plumber, gotta find people that know how to fix things, which is not me. So my friend Wendell came over. Wendell said, Matthew, what you got to do is you got to remove the drywall. We got to get fans in here. We got to get the heat going. We got to just dry this place out. And so he came over and he knows what he's doing. He removes the drywall and we get the fans going and we're trying to just, you know, pulled up the carpet. We're trying to like fix this. And then after a while there, my friend Bob, who is skilled in this area, he is Mr. Miyagi when it comes to patching things up. And so he showed me the ways. He taught me the ways. I don't know how to do this. So he put the drywall back in and showed me how to do the mudding and then how to do the sanding. And it was like sand on, sand off. And Bob was Mr. Miyagi. And so I'm like, well, you know what? I'm not going to let this thing happen and not use it as a sermon illustration, because I got to get some kind of use out of this catastrophe in my life. So here's the deal. Think of the metaphor, okay? So it's a metaphor. The drywall needs to be removed so that the air and the heat can dry the water behind the walls. See, the longer the water stays back there, behind there, hidden behind the drywall, the more the mold will grow. Okay, well, you see the parable here, right? What has stayed inside of you for too long? What mold is growing and starting to rot? Some of the good things in your life. Where is there decay that's happening? Because this secret, this sin, this part where you have contributed to something has not come out into the light. You see, confession is pulling the drywall off. And it's allowing the wind of the Holy Spirit and the heat of the love of God to dry us up. The wind of the Spirit, the heat of the love of God to dry us up, to heal us, to end the growth that's slowly bringing decay into our life. You see, it's wild. We think that the best thing we can do is hold on to our sin and mistakes. But just think of the parable here with the drywall. Is it good for you to go another day, another week, a month without opening that thing up? Of course not. You're going to pay a higher price later on if we don't deal with it. Everyone, when this is happening, would say, you got to deal with it now. Deal with it. But see, it seems like the reasonable thing to do is delay. Why? Because we know the pain. It's going to take time to cut the drywall. We know the pain, right? We got to let it dry, then we got to patch it up, and then we got to mud the thing, then we got to sand the thing, then we got to paint the thing, and it seems like so much work. But God goes, this is because I love you. I want to heal you. Would you allow your life in many ways to get cut open? And would you step out into the light? And allow the wind of the Spirit and the heat of my love to heal you. In fact, this is what God is saying to us as a community. In AA, the big book says this, quote, if we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves, but they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty until they told someone else all their life story. You and I think there's an easier way, but there's not. Unless God is able to complete the house cleaning in us, we will have something unhealed in us that may continue to bring shame and guilt into our life and tempt us to go to the thing that we need freedom from, to self-medicate again. You see, this cycle of feeling shame for what we've done and then moving to the thing where we self-medicate, that's a cycle that needs to be broken. But our temptation is to hide. And this is like on page 2 of the Bible. Genesis chapter 3, our ancestors ate of the fruit that they were told not to eat in the garden, and they felt shame because they had disobeyed God. And so what do? You feel shame, you hide. Shame, hide. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? That's an important question that I think God is asking us. Where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Why do we hide? Because of shame. We're hiding because of the shame, and darkness is more comfortable. I believe that's why pubs and clubs and fancy restaurants are all dark. It takes away the blemishes, the wrinkles, the warts, and the pimples. And everyone you're there with looks a little bit nicer than they actually are, you know? to conceal part of ourselves, well, it's comfortable, right? For some of us, we've spent years living in the darkness. Man, we've buried this stuff. Unable to confess the real things that are happening underneath the surface. And we're like, well, maybe one day I'll tell someone. Maybe one day I'll deal with it. Maybe one day I'll take responsibility for that. But we've got this superficiality problem in the church. See, many of you know this, but see, newcomers to Jesus come to church and they see all of us dressed up in our Sunday best without any problems, right? And it's like, I don't know if I belong here. And I want to tell the newcomer, oh, you belong here. They've got a superficiality problem. Get to know them. It's bad. It's really bad. Yeah. They look like a perfect family. Not perfect. I could tell you stories. Just kidding. No, not at all. Because this is me. I just don't want anyone to come to North Langley and think that, like, they don't belong here. Like, this is a hospital of sinners, right? This is not like a cruise for the saints, right? It's a hospital. And we're coming, and we're in desperate need of the love of God and the transformation of God in our lives. All of us. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. And some of us during this series have had a bit of a problem. Like, some of you have kind of gone through the checklist and you're like, okay, I'm not sure I'm struggling here. Like, what am I struggling with? And you're kind of like, well, when the main offenders, you don't visibly see them, I think it's a time to really pause and say, Lord, search my heart and say, what are the areas of hypocrisy and judgmentalism and greed? And you just can go on for quite a while, right? And saying, like, things that maybe not are as obvious. Because we're likely to play the superficial game in the church. Rich Velotas, from The Deeply Formed Life, in his book, he writes this, quote, we won't take time to go deep down within because we've often been discipled into superficiality. And my hope of this series as a church is that we would break that idea. And that we would all kind of come out from behind hiding behind the tree in the Garden of Eden. And when God says, where are you? That all of us would come out of hiding. Because we're afraid of vulnerability, of transparency, afraid that if people truly knew us, they would not love us. But it's the love of God that calls us out of hiding. It's the mercy of God that calls us into the light to confess. Proverbs 28, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. See, I believe God wants to pour his love and mercy upon our lives. We're in this prison of fear. The fear that if someone knew us and the things we've done, that they would not love us. And again, this is shame. Shame thrives in the darkness. Shame grows in the darkness, like that mold behind the drywall. John Ortberg writes, quote, shame thrives in hiddenness, but withers strangely in love's presence. I wish that love was capitalized. Capital L, love. It's the love of God. But we become used to the secrets that we carry. We become so accustomed to the dark memories that surround us. And these have almost become like prison walls around us. And we grow used to the prison walls. Those of you who have been here for years know that one of my favorite quotes comes from a movie called The Shawshank Redemption, where we hear this incredible quote on what it means to be imprisoned. Red, the Morgan Freeman character, says the following about prison life. These walls are kind of funny. First you hate them, then you get used to them. Enough time passes, get so you depend on them. That's institutionalized. They send you here for life. That's exactly what they take. How have we become comfortable with our prison walls? We're so used to hiding behind these walls. That's institutionalized. But what if we could confess and step into the light of God? What if we could confess our sin to someone this week, to begin the journey of healing? Can I raise the stakes a little? I've said this before, but how often in life do you get this opportunity to confess your sin? We're always busy. We move on to the next thing. We're like, well, I don't really have time for that this week. And that's like another meeting. And we just have all these excuses. It's like, it's time to cut the drywall. Let's do this. One of my fears for the church is that many of us will just take the off-ramp and go, not for me. And I've been thinking about how our city could be transformed, our families could be transformed, when those of us at our North Langley campuses experience the power of freedom, hearts that are set free. What would that do? What's the ripple effect of that in your friendships, in your family life? What could that look like? We have to just give that to the Lord. Lord, you do what you want to do in our church family. But as we near the end, I want to show you one more thing. God cares deeply about you. I want to show you this. He loves you. And not only does he care about your mind, he cares about your body. I want to ask a question, and I'm going to give some caveats in a second. But I want to just ask a very simple question. Could it be that some of us are experiencing a sickness because of unconfessed sin? Is there a link between what our body is experiencing and unconfessed sin? Roll with me for the next few minutes. Don't worry. The caveat you think I'm going to make, I'm probably going to make it, but just hold on. Listen to the book of James. Is anyone among you sick? Oh, sorry, before I read this, watch how Pastor James takes sickness and sin and combines them in a very interesting way. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, did you notice anything weird about this? Somehow sin is being linked to sickness. Did you catch that? Now, caveat number one. First of all, notice if they have sinned. James, Pastor James here, is not saying sin and sickness are always linked. No. Jesus corrected that false idea in John chapter 9. There's a man who's born blind, and Jesus makes it clear to the crowd of people that this man is not blind because of his sin or his parents' sin. No. Again, James here is not saying that sin and sickness are always linked. No. But could it be that sometimes they are? Let me ask. What effect does concealing secret sin have on your physical body? Do we think that the stress of that could impact your body? Just as we think logically, what effect would bitterness, years of bitterness, have on your body? I wonder if our bodies experience physical fatigue because we worship at the altar of our own success and we're not practicing rest. Or we have chronic fatigue because of our addictions to screens. Or we have high blood pressure due to our uncontrolled anger or deep anger, that quiet, deep anger. Or we experience some depression growing out of our secret, unconfessed sins. Hear me clearly. Many of us walking with these symptoms of pain and sickness are not, hear me clearly, because I want to avoid lots of emails this week. I have lots to do, don't need these emails. Hear me clearly, it's not because of sin, please. Not because of sin. But if we're listening to Pastor James, we Could it be that we could see the link between sin and sickness, right? We see how addiction and self-harm can hurt the body, but I don't know if we've explored all the ways that a deep bitterness, deep-seated anger, secret sins, how these can take a toll on our body. I think Pastor James is on to something. I think it's worth considering. But I want to offer this as hope and love because God wants you to be healed. Not just like healed in some like way that like I can't see it. It's like maybe even in your body healed. That there could be a freedom there. When I feel like I've lied, every part of my body feels it. When I feel this unrighteous anger, every organ in my body feels like it's affected by it. And some of us might find that as we confess our sin, that there's this double bonus here where some physical healing will come with that. How amazing would that be? All right, well, what do we do? How do we confess? Well, this is gonna be deep. Grab a notepad and get ready. Lots of notes. I have like 20 points here, okay? I'm just joking. It's very simple. We just confess. That's what we do. There's no art to it. We just do it. It's like jumping into the cold end, deep end of the pool, right? You just do it. And we find someone we trust and we share. We tell the truth. This week in your apprentice groups, I'm really, really encouraged by Meredith and John, who've done such a great job writing our guide each week. I want to let you know, just so you know, I hope you've all known that you don't have to do this alone, that these groups, there's a curriculum, that's maybe the bad way to say it, but there's just some ideas, some thoughts, some guidelines each week. And they've done just such a great job this week. They've done a great job before, but they put a lot of effort into this week on what it looks like to confess to one another. And very simply put, you'll gather with your group and you'll just read what you wrote in step 4. Those of us who are listening, it's not a time for counseling, for advice giving. No, it's to use these two things on the side of our head, just to listen and to reaffirm our love for this person, to pray for them, right? Remind them of the gospel, of how loved we are, and the forgiveness of Jesus. The study guide this week will have lots of wisdom to share about a few kind of tricky things. One of them is just to share wisely. You share to your level of trust in the group. So some of you have known each other for years and you'll feel very comfortable reading step 4 out loud to the group. But some of you may have just gotten to know each other and we just want to say, take this step by step. You might feel like, oh man, I'll read 90% of this to my group, but I don't know about that final 10%. And our encouragement to you is if you feel like in your group, you're comfortable sharing the 90%, but there's one or two things you'd like to share with a trusted mentor, a trusted friend, trusted counselor, that's okay. You know what your group can do is can go, totally fine. You don't have to share those couple things with us, but we want to hold you accountable that this week you'll set up a meeting to share that with someone, that it'll happen this week. And so that's an option there. But there's just some guidelines for things like that. Also, the study guide explains rules around confidentiality. We really want to be a safe place here, holding confidentiality so that there's no gossip, there's no spiritual abuse in that way. But there is a danger, sometimes when we share, that we're sharing things that could hurt ourselves or could hurt others. And so the study guide will give you some wisdom into the need to report those if they are shared in your group. You know, this could sound heavy, but these principles keep us a safe place, filled with the love of God. And our great desire is that thing you're carrying this week, you'll get it off your chest. And you'll bring it into the light. What's my role in listening to someone confess to me? Well, again, listen. Thank them for their confession. Pray for them. Affirm their identity in Christ. and end with the gospel. North Langley, as you confess this week, may God give you great courage and remember the victory of Jesus. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Your resentments, fears, and brokenness are not brought into the light to condemn you. No, Jesus loves you. And we reveal these places of shame that need his healing love. God loves you. North Langley, God is so ready to heal you. Remember the cross of Christ. Remember the blood Jesus shed for the forgiveness of sins. 1 John 1, again. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Would you stand with me as we worship? We're going to sing. And I want to let you know that there are a few things to mention when it comes to prayer. A reminder that our prayer team is going to be in the prayer room and also up front. And just three quick things when it comes to prayer. I love our prayer team. First of all, we said this last week, but you may need courage. You can come to our prayer team and say, I need courage. Courage to confess this week. Courage to step into the light. You could come and just go, I don't want to do this. The prayer team would love to pray for you. If you just come and just go, I don't want to do this step. So, all right, let's pray for courage. Be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid. Second thing for prayer is that you may have some fear and hesitation about doing step 5 because you've experienced some betrayal of confidence. Or when you tried to share this in a Christian circle, some Christians gossiped and betrayed confidence. And that hurt you. And you're like, Matthew, I don't want to do step 5 because last time I did this, I was hurt. And our prayer team just said, we would love to pray for you, if that's you. If you're carrying a hurt, just come, receive prayer. They would love to pray for God's healing, that would not discourage you from sharing with good people who will hold this in confidence. And finally, actually a very specific thing. Our prayer team just had a specific word for anyone who's kind of in financial need. And they want to pray for you and that someone may have recently experienced a small kind of provision in life, and that it's like, okay, come with thanksgiving, and God wants to pray. And the prayer team wants to bless that beautiful gift from God. So if any of those three apply to you, would you come receive prayer? Jesus, we give this time of worship to you and this time of prayer to you. We surrender, we let go. And we ask that in your mercy, you would move in a powerful way. To all my friends in this room, give us courage. Heal us of those wounds from the past and give us the courage to step into the light. And Jesus, would you set us free?